If I were to say the name, and I say the name William Perry, probably not many of us recognize that name. But if I say William the Refrigerator Perry, I think maybe a few of you might know who I'm talking about. William the Refrigerator Perry was a football player. And I read a quote about him. He was called the Refrigerator. Well, guess why? I read a quote said by him, not about him by someone else, but by him, William Perry said, "Even when I was little, I was big." William the Fridge Perry was on the winning Super Bowl team, Super Bowl 20. And being on the Super Bowl team, one of the perks is that you get a Super Bowl ring. You get a big check, too. Even if you lose, you get a check. But anyway, you get a Super Bowl ring. And William Perry had that Super Bowl ring, and on one side he had the team's name put, and on the other side, and by the way, William Refrigerator Perry's ring size, I wear a size 9. I have somewhat small fingers, but I wear a size 9. William Perry's ring size is 25. Almost three times the size of this ring. But on the other side of the ring, and it was certainly big enough, he had the word attitude. Attitude. Because he recognized how crucial that was. It wasn't all just about size and strength and brute force. Attitude. Attitude is the key to victory in so many things in our life. And we want to spend some time in a text that you find in 1 Timothy chapter 1 this morning. And we're going to talk about making the emphasis of our attitude and our life about the grace of God. Because there's a remarkable passage here in 1 Timothy chapter 1 about the grace of God that will help us when we look at it through the right direction and with the right attitude. It will help us formulate our attitude about the grace of God, and it will help us make the grace of God our attitude of life and how we approach everything. And from our text, we're going to make three observations. We're going to have 3 points. We're going to make 3 observations of how we can make the grace of God the emphasis of our attitude. Now we read in 1 Timothy chapter 1, beginning at verse 12, these words, "And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has enabled me, because he counted me faithful, putting me into ministry, although I formerly was a blasphemer, a persecutor, and an insolent man, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly and in unbelief. And the grace," there's our word, "and the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant with faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief," or who I am the foremost. "However, for this reason, I obtain mercy, that in me first, Jesus Christ might show all long-suffering as a pattern to those who are going to believe on him for everlasting life. Now, to the King eternal, immortal, invisible, to God who alone is wise, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen." Now, this text, we're going to look at 3 ways. We're going to make 3 observations at how we can make the grace that he talks about in this text, how we can make that grace our attitude of life. Because it was his attitude of life, and this is how we can take the grace of God and we can, you know, chisel it on the side of a ring, chisel it in the tissue of our heart, and make it our attitude. Number one, we need to be thankful for the grace of Jesus Christ. If we're going to make this our attitude, the emphasis of our attitude, if the grace of God is going to be the emphasis of our attitude, number one, let's be thankful for the grace of God. You go back to verse 12 where we started our reading, and what are the first words you see? I thank. I thank Christ Jesus our Lord. You see, this was written by a man who was very thankful. Yes, indeed, he was inspired, but we cannot remove the personal dynamic of the Apostle Paul's life from his writings. He was moved and guided by the Holy Spirit indeed to write these words, but he's also writing these words as a human being. He had a personal involvement in this, and he knew the grace of God was very great toward him, and so first and foremost, he was thankful. I thank God, because he realized that it all comes from God. Notice what he says when you look at verse 12. I thank Christ Jesus our Lord. And the New King James that I read from says, who has enabled me. The English Standard Version says, who has given me strength. The word in the original here is a word that you may recognize in English. It's the word dynamito, which is very similar to our word dynamite. It's similar to the word that's used over in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, that the gospel has the power unto salvation. You see, what the Bible is saying here, what Paul is saying, what we're all needing to see, is that we have been empowered. That's the real word here. That we have been empowered. We have been enabled. We have been given strength. And what have you been given strength for? Look at it at the end of verse 12, ministry. Now, the word there in the original, we will run across a little later in 1 Timothy chapter 3 when he talks about men in the Lord's church who will serve in the role of deacon, diakonos. The word there is related to that word, and what he's saying here is that he has been empowered to ministry, he has been empowered to service, he has been empowered to be a servant. And he is thankful for that. But all of this, as he reminds us, is from Christ Jesus. And that Christ Jesus has empowered him to ministry. Now, I want you to notice in the text, as you look at verse, really in this first point about being thankful, look at verse 12 and 13. When you take verses 12 and 13 together, you have kind of an interesting statement, three statements that are made here that help us see why we need to be thankful about the grace of God. I want you to notice he says, I was, and then he says, I received, and then in essence he says, now I am. He says in verse 13, I was a blasphemer, a persecutor, an insolent man. This is what I was. When you go back over in Acts chapter 9, and you read verse 1, it says that Saul, as he was known then, was breathing out threats and murders against the disciples of Christ. That word for breathing out, it takes on a whole new meaning when you understand that the emphasis there, the original definition of that word, means kind of like when you take in a breath because you're about to push something really heavy. You take in a breath because maybe you're about to punch somebody in the face that's threatening you. You draw back. And then you breathe out and you push or you punch. And Saul, Paul, in Acts 9:1 was punching out like that. Breathing out like that. You see, he was being very determined with his threatenings and murders against the disciples of the Lord Jesus. He said, this is what I was. I was a blasphemer, a persecutor, an insolent, rebellious, stubborn man. This is what I was. But keep looking at verse 13. I received mercy. Now, the words mercy and grace are very closely related to one another. They somewhat have a little different twist into their application, but you have to understand them together. We know that the classic definition of grace is receiving what we do not deserve. Unmerited, unearned favor. We receive something that we do not deserve. But kind of very closely connected to that and related to that, and really we can't understand grace without the definition of the word mercy. Mercy is when I do not receive what I do deserve. And God works together to give us mercy by not giving us what we do deserve, because we are sinners and we deserve punishment and condemnation, and then give us what we don't deserve. Salvation and forgiveness. I was a sinful man. I received mercy. So now I am, look at the last part of verse 12, a servant. I am in ministry. I am in service. That's what the word really means. It's not a title. It's not something that you have to go to college for 5 years for or have a PhD in. I am a servant. Service. That's what the word really means there at the end of verse 12. I was this, but I received mercy. I was a sinner, but I received mercy. Now I am a servant. And he's thankful. I thank Christ Jesus my Lord because of this. And we're talking about making this our attitude. The mercy and grace of Christ Jesus our Lord. And when we're talking about being thankful for it, we've got to realize something when we read a text like this. When we realize, you know, just like he's realizing, this is what I was, this is what I received, and now this is what I have become. We're talking about attitude of thankfulness, about the grace of God that has empowered me, enabled me, given me the strength to reach this point. I could not do this by myself. You know, there is something drastically wrong with the attitude of the man who thinks he doesn't owe God anything. There's something really wrong with the attitude of the man who thinks God owes him something. God owes us nothing. But with His mercy and grace, He gave it to us anyway. There's something desperately wrong with the attitude of a man who thinks he can earn his salvation without mercy and without grace. There's something desperately wrong with the attitude of a man who thinks just because I have obeyed some commands that God has given to me, then God ought to get off my back. I've done what God said, therefore God, you know, I'm finished with Him because I fulfilled my obligations to Him. There's something wrong with the attitude of a man like that. There's something wrong with the heart of a man that has an attitude like that, who's not thankful every moment of every day for the tremendous mercy and grace of God. There is something wrong with the attitude of a man who thinks, I owe God nothing. Yes, indeed, we are saved by grace. We could go over to Ephesians chapter 2 and read that tremendous passage about salvation by grace through faith. And yes, indeed, we are saved by grace. And we understand the teachings of the Bible give us the instructions about grace through faith, Ephesians chapter 2, that our faith brings us to the point that we believe in Jesus Christ and we obey what He says. And yes, to obey what Jesus says, we repent of our sins. We confess and acknowledge Him as the Son of God and the Lord of our life. We are immersed, we are baptized in His name because Jesus said to do that. Mark chapter 16, he who believes and is baptized, is immersed, shall be saved. Jesus said to do those things. But it is the grace of God that saves us ultimately. None of those were our own ideas. None of those were things we were capable of thinking up and doing ourselves. We have to be led that direction by the teaching and commandments of God. And we are saved by grace through faith. You see, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. So we're saved by grace that we learn about through the Word of God. That's where our faith comes in. And we hear, we believe, and we obey. We are saved by grace. But that doesn't mean I don't owe God something. And I ought to return what I owe to God with a thankful heart. Remember the first two words? I thank Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank Him. And we return to our Lord with a thankful heart. Not a cold heart that just does this because I have to. It's just obligation. I'm just going through the list and I'm checking off the boxes to make sure that I've done everything that God says that I'm supposed to do. That's not a thankful heart. That's not a heart that is motivated by the mercy and grace of God. Now, I do what I do. I should have the attitude to do what I do because of the grace of God. And I am so thankful. I can do nothing but serve Him. I was a sinner. I received mercy. Now, I am a servant. So we want to make the grace of God our emphasis and the emphasis of our attitude. Number one, let's be thankful for the grace of Jesus Christ. Number two, let's think on the grace of Jesus Christ. You see, we're talking about thinking, and we're talking about thinking. We need to think more about Jesus Christ. When we look at our text again in 1 Timothy chapter 1, really I want you to look at verses 14 and 15. And again, our word comes in that the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Now we're talking about thinking about the grace of God. Yes, be thankful. But also, if this is going to be my attitude, then let's think on the grace of God. Even though we are sinners, even though this is what I was, verse 14, the grace of God is what? The New King James Version says, exceedingly abundant. Now, notice how that's modified. It's not just abundant, but it's exceedingly abundant. The English Standard Version says, the grace of God overflowed. There's no container that can hold all of God's grace. It's exceedingly abundant. It's overflowing because it's so tremendous. The idea there behind the word in the original, that depending on what translation you have, that says exceedingly abundant or overflowed, or perhaps another English word there in our English Bibles, is the idea of that it's just gushing forth. It's spewing forth. Like, I know the Apostle Paul couldn't use this illustration, but this is sort of the idea. Like if you take a 12-ounce Coke bottle or a soda bottle, you know, a bottle of pop, and you shake it up real hard, and then you open it, and it just overflows. It spews out. It gushes everywhere. And that's what he's saying, that the grace of God is like toward us as sinners. That it's just spewing out. It's overflowing. It's exceedingly abundant for us. But we need to think about that incredible concept of how tremendous the grace of God really is. And notice how, as our thoughts are being directed by the Holy Spirit through the Apostle Paul in writing this, that there's some emphasis here as to how Jesus, our Savior, is addressed. Notice in the text, he calls him Lord, and he calls him Christ, and he calls him Jesus, because he is thinking about the Savior and his grace properly, thoroughly. He calls him Lord, because that's who he... Remember, he said, I am a servant. I am in ministry. Or if I'm the servant, if I'm the slave, then someone else must be the master. Someone else must be the Lord. It's not me. I don't run the show. I don't call the shots. No, Jesus is Lord. He is Christ. That's an official title. It means Messiah. It means anointed one. He is the King. It's a royal designation of who he is. But he also calls him Jesus. He's thinking about him as Lord. He's thinking about him as King, Christ. And he's thinking about him as Jesus. You see, Jesus is his personal name. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. He became a human being, God did. And he was given a personal name that means Savior. But it's his personal name. And it's kind of interesting, and the numbers, when you begin to run the numbers, you'll get some discrepancies in this, but the basic overall picture that you have is this. The personal name of Jesus is used about twice as many times as the royal name of Jesus in the New Testament. In other words, he's referred to by his personal name, Jesus, about twice as many times as he is referred to by his title, Anointed One Christ. See, that's because the authors of the New Testament are thinking about Jesus on a personal level. He's not just some concept of God, you know, that is so far removed from us that we don't understand it and can't understand it. But he's personal. He's real. And we can think about him. And let's think about Jesus more. The next thing he says is that this is a faithful saying. That Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief, foremost, first in line. Christ Jesus came to save us. And we need to think a lot more about that. We need to think about that verse says, this is who I am. This is who he is. And this is what he did for me. Hanging in my house are those very words. And for a number of years, that verse has been hanging in our kitchen. And as I was studying this lesson, I thought about this, and I took it down off the wall, and I looked at it again. And I thought, this hangs in my house every day. Many times I'll walk right by it. It's hanging up above a cabinet door, so it's a little higher than your eye level is. And I don't even see it. And although the lady of the house may not like it, I think we're going to move it down a little lower, where I can see it just a little better and think about who he is and who I am and what he did for me.
So we want to make the grace of God the emphasis of our attitude. Number one, let's be thankful for the grace of God. But number two, let's think about the grace of Jesus Christ. And let's think about it often. But now number three from our text, verses 16 and 17. Let's talk about the grace of Jesus Christ. Number one, let's be thinking about it. Number two, let's be thinking about it. And number three, let's be talking about it. So, thanking, thinking, and talking. About what? The grace of Jesus Christ. Let's talk about the grace of Jesus Christ. You know, the Apostle Paul said here about being the foremost of sinners, the chief of sinners. But then, in the very next verse, he uses terminology that doesn't always come out in our English Bibles. But it's using a play, not a play on words, but he's going back to what he just said about being first in line, number one, foremost, first, chief of sinners. But then what? In verse 16, however, for this reason I obtained mercy, there's mercy again, that in me first. You see, he says he was first of sin. The ESV does a really good job here of giving you the meaning of these words in regard to seeing them both using the same idea. Because the ESV says at the end of verse 15, instead of chief of sinners, it says, of whom I am foremost. And then in verse 16, it says that Christ Jesus worked through him foremost. It's the same word is used both times, which gives us a good idea. He's saying that foremost, I was a sinner. First in line, number one description, I am a sinner. But then, because I received mercy, because of what Jesus did for me, now foremost and first in line, Jesus has chosen me to what? Show His long-suffering as a pattern to those who believe. The idea here behind that word show is display. Some translations actually put it that way. That through Paul, the grace of God would be on display. And it's because of His mercy that even though Paul says, I was foremost of sinners, I was chief, I was first, I was number one of sinners, now I am foremost and chief and number one, the way that Jesus will display His grace to other people. He's not being arrogant and he's not bragging, because Paul's not saying, I'm doing this myself. He says, Christ Jesus is using me to do this to bless others. And if God used the Apostle Paul to display His patience, His mercy, and His grace, what logically follows is that Paul talked about the grace of God all the time. And what logically follows is that Paul talked about the Lord Jesus Christ all the time, because he was on display. God and the grace of God and the mercy of Christ Jesus was on display through his life. And so he talked about Christ all the time. And when you go back and you begin reading the record, particularly in the book of Acts, of this man's life and how he spent his life in ministry, you know that's exactly what he did. Everywhere he went, he talked about Jesus. Everywhere he went, he talked about grace. Everywhere he went, he talked about the gospel. Let's lay it
in our lap. How many times last week did someone hear me talk about Jesus? I started thinking about that. Last Sunday for lunch, we went to a restaurant. Monday morning, we slept in a little bit because of the Sunday night Moonlight Madness event. But Monday night, we went to a restaurant because that, for Celine and myself, was Valentine's Day. Tuesday, after Tuesday class, went out to eat with a few of the people from the class at a restaurant. Wednesday, I actually ate out lunch and supper at restaurants. And Friday night, ate out in Hazel Green. I went to the post office last week. And beyond those trips to several different places to eat and the post office, I don't think I went to another place. Never once at any place, at any time, to anyone did I mention the name of Jesus. Am I really talking about Jesus? Am I really talking about my Savior? Am I really talking about His grace? Is He on display through me? If Jesus Christ and His grace and mercy is really my emphasis, if that is really my attitude, if that is written on the tissue of my heart, I think I would talk about Him just a little more than I do. Verse 17, now to the King eternal, immortal, invisible, to God, who alone is wise, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. God bless us all. And God help us all to thank, to think, and to talk more about His grace. That grace we extend this very morning to anyone here who has not obeyed the gospel. That mercy we extend this morning to anyone here who has never become a child of God. That grace, that mercy is just as powerful, just as prevalent, and just as effective today as it was the day Jesus died on the cross and shed His blood. Would you obey the gospel today? Believe in Him, turn from your sins, and be baptized in His name today? If so, the grace of God invites you as we stand and we sing.